guys who were with him who are Jews. They're of the circumcision. And the others are Gentiles. But here, within the little realm, this little window into Paul's life, we see Jew and Gentile. And then, of course, also we see slave and free. Right? We see slave and free because most of these guys are all free. But one guy who's mentioned in here in verse 9 is Onesimus. Right? So he sends greetings. He's going to send Tychicus back. But he's sending him with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. He, along with Tychicus, will make known to you all the things that are happening here. Now, Onesimus is the guy in the book of Philemon. Right? Onesimus is the runaway slave. Onesimus is the one who has come and he's found Paul. He's himself become a Christian. A son, Paul will say. A son to me. And he sends him back to Philemon. And here he goes. He's now going back to Philemon. And he's going back with Tychicus. And this is the body of Christ. He said, and notice, right, this is important. And he's almost tagging on to the words he'll write to Philemon when he encourages Philemon to receive Onesimus back and perhaps to free him, though he's not so overt in saying it. But nonetheless, he is sending Onesimus back to Philemon and encouraging Philemon to receive him, his slave, his runaway slave, as a brother. And here also he says it, Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. Yes, he's from there. He's from Colossae, but he's also one of you. He's a brother. He's in the faith. And remember that Paul's letter already has told masters how to address their slaves and slaves how to behave around their masters. So he sends the slave back to his master, essentially giving to him the words that he gave in Colossians about being faithful, serving as unto the Lord. And so here he goes. But we have within the body not only Jew and Gentile, but we have slave and free. And we're all together. He's one of you. Of course, we have prisoners. Paul himself and Aristarchus are prisoners for the gospel. He says, Aristarchus in verse 10, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner. And the word for prisoner there is like prisoner of war, right? My fellow prisoner, not criminal prisoner, but a prisoner of war, a captive. He and I are both captives for the gospel. We're both in chains for the gospel. Here they are in prison, and the free men are going and bringing the message back. And then also we have male and female. Now here, and this is slightly debatable, but the New King James does not help here. But you will see if you look down in the footnote, at the end, Paul will greet Nympha. This is in verse 15, greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and Nymphas and the church that is in his house. And then you see the footnote, and down below it says, or her. And the other translations have her house, that Nympha is a woman, and that she has, whether she is in or near Colossae, but somehow he assumes they know who she is, and she has this church within her house. And, of course, the early church, many of them were meeting in houses. And Paul says, hey, greet Nympha for me. And also greet the church that is in her house, which is apparently a different congregation than you all, but make sure you pass on my greetings to them. And male and female. And again, this just draws for us, right, the diversity and multifaceted nature of the body of Christ. And here, just simply, no teaching on it, just it is. Hey, the prisoner's coming back. He's one of you. I got all these Jews with me. That's great. And the Gentiles, all these men are encouragements to me. And we're slave and we're free and we're male and we're female. We're Jew and we're Gentile. And this is a little glimpse into the body of Christ. So first, it's diverse. Secondly, it's nondescript for the most part. Right? There's a couple names you know in here. For example, Luke. Luke is mentioned in here as the beloved physician. If I'm correct, this is the only text by which we know that Luke was a physician. If it weren't for this, we'd never know. Luke would just be another guy. But here we know that Luke is the beloved physician. So, okay, there's a name you know. You may also know the name John Mark, as the one who broke things up in the early days of the the missionary journeys when it was Paul and Barnabas working together, and then John Mark came in and as a wedge and kind of broke them apart, and Barnabas went his way and Paul had to go his way. So maybe that's a name you know. Of course, we've heard Epaphras, but if we're not paying attention thoroughly through the scriptures, the only reason we've heard Epaphras is because of this letter, because when it was introduced, we made a big point of it, that Epaphras is a guy who essentially is converted under Paul, who comes back and plants the church in Colossae, and then now is back ministering to Paul and bringing him the news, which provokes the letter. But there's no big names in here. These are nondescript men and women. Who the heck is Nymphas? This woman who's got a church in her house, she's hosting a church. Aristarchus, Tychicus. Yes, he's mentioned other places in the scriptures. But again, if you're not really looking for it, these are names you would just read over in many of the other parts of scripture. This is the reality, though, of the body of Christ. Now, Paul's doing the writing here. Paul is the one sending, he's the author of the letter. But in his greetings, what we find out are these other people are the laborers who are getting so much done. One, they're comforting him. They're there to encourage him. In some sense, I think Paul is saying, look, I couldn't do this without them. They're here to encourage me. Certainly Luke, who's got to be like Paul's personal doctor, traveling around with him. By all accounts, Paul's health wasn't bad, but my goodness, his body was utterly broken, all that he had been through, and Luke is there to support him. He's got people with him in prison, Aristarchus. He's got these other Jewish men who are there to be a tremendous encouragement to him. He's got Tychicus, who is his messenger, his faithful servant, he says, a faithful and reliable co-worker within the kingdom who he can entrust with really heavy things. Tychicus was with him when he took the offerings from Macedonia and brought them to Jerusalem. A very, very dangerous mission, by the way. But Tychicus was a man who was trustworthy and was with him to carry the funds and make sure they got there successfully down to Jerusalem. Tychicus is the man here who he is now going to send back with Onesimus. And he's entrusting Tychicus to negotiate and navigate these potentially stormy waters of bringing the returned slave back to Colossae. I mean, I have to believe Paul would love to be there to do this. This is a hard thing. He's written the letter to Philemon, but this is something that's going to require some careful words and some authority and some maturity to bring back in. And Paul's not interested in just let Onesimus survive this. He's looking for reunion and fellowship and brotherhood. It's almost like Paul needs to say these things, but Tychicus is the man that he's entrusting with this. Tychicus, who's that? But this is the body of Christ. It gets to what we said about the role of where the kingdom of God works itself out between husbands and wives, parents and children, bosses and employees. Like, that is where you live it out. And here within the body, as we get a little glimpse of it, we see this very kind of thing. No huge names other than Paul and maybe Luke. But the reality is the kingdom thrives by the team, this body of Christ in whom no one is insignificant, right? Paul says in Romans 12, and of course also in 1 Corinthians 12, that the body, this part should never say to that part, we have no need of you. What would the body be if the whole thing were an eye? Or if the whole thing were an ear, if everybody was Paul. That's just not how it works. We need Pauls, but we need Tychicuses. You know, and we need John Marks, and we need Epaphrases, and we need Nymphas. You know, a woman you would never have heard about, but who opens her home, maybe at risk, I don't know, to have a church come and meet there. We need this. This is the body of Christ. It's a full functioning unit in which every person plays their part. Brothers and sisters, that means you have a part. Right? You're a nondescript. I'm a nondescript. Within this church, I'm descript. But in the grand scale of things, I'm nobody. But I have a role to play, and it's with this little body. And you have a role to play within this body and within your little world. And who knows the ripple effects. And it doesn't matter. It's in the Lord's hands. And yet the Lord uses us as his body to work out the growth and the power of his kingdom. You know, in this very letter, Colossians, Paul says our lives are hidden with Christ. Our lives are hidden in Christ, and one day it will be revealed what we are. Indeed, I've thought before about one day, or in that day, the great and glorious day of the resurrection, and we see fully, if we don't see it beforehand, the full body of Christ. We're going to find that the heroes of the faith are names we never knew. Right? I know the reformers will be there, and they are great, and I'm sure they'll have a great role to play in glory. But you know. The realities are the heroes of the faith are those whose names we'll never know. And it's people like this, just a nondescript body. So be encouraged by that and take your role, whether it's as a slave or as a master, a child or a parent, a husband or a wife, in whatever role, a pastor or a parishioner, a missionary or a plumber, take our calling and bring it into the service of the kingdom and know that this is where the Lord does his work and how he spreads his kingdom. So it's diverse, it's nondescript. Number three, it's filled with characters and stories. And the stories that we see just within this little text as we get this little window are encouraging and troubling at the same time. I mean, Onesimus' story is an interesting one, right? It's a story of a rebellious man who says, I'm not going to accept my lot, I'm out. In a way that's unacceptable, and he runs away. And yet it's a wonderful story because he becomes converted and he's willing to return. what an amazing story is this story of Onesimus, who's Paul's going to send him back. And he's like, okay, I'll go back. I'll go back to my master. It's an amazing story of rebellion and yet submission and repentance and conversion and so forth. It's a wonderful story. The story of Epaphras is a tremendous story about a faithful servant who, as Paul describes him, just says, I will be his witness to tell you. He's reporting back to the Colossians, telling them how faithful this man is. Oh, Paul must love Epaphras because Epaphras has been pouring himself out in prayer for the Colossians, I assume, with Paul, before Paul, but also in private for the sake of these people. And so what a wonderful story is the story of Epaphras. And then this character Aristarchus, who again, don't know who he is, except to say that he's a fellow prisoner. Here's a man who has taken up the calling of the gospel, seeing Paul imprisoned, but who takes up the call of the gospel and who suffers it himself. Who did not run away from the hard calling of preaching the gospel in a place, in a context where he might be arrested, but rather who proclaims it faithfully and himself becomes a co-laborer with Paul then in chains. A tremendous story. Wonderful characters. And then there's Archippus. Archippus, who I'm sure is also a wonderful story, but who maybe is struggling in the ministry. Verse 17, this is right at the end. And say to Archippus, he calls this guy out specifically. Say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord that you may fulfill it. All right, so on the one hand, you just have these faithful, you know, all out people like Epaphras and Aristarchus who are just taking on their calling with vigor. And then you got a guy Archippus. And he's floundering. We can assume, I think. And hence, Paul sends a message to him. Hey, tell him to be faithful. Tell him to keep going. Tell him to press on. Tell him to take the calling and not to let his eyes and his mind begin to wander away from the calling that the Lord has given him. Take heed to the ministry that you have received, that you may fulfill it. A character indeed, a floundering man. Yet Paul calls him out and encourages him. And then there's also sad stories like Demas. Demas, who is with Paul and who Paul in this text says is a great encouragement to him, but who we find out in his letters to Timothy eventually wanders away. Demas is a guy who left because he loved this world, Paul says, with tears to Timothy later. He's a man who loved this world. Now, does it mean he abandoned the faith or just abandoned the calling? We don't know. We don't know. But either way, it doesn't sound good. You don't. You know, if your name is mentioned in the scriptures by the Apostle Paul, and what he says is, and he's left us. He's not of us here because he loved this world. Not the eulogy you want, not the words you want. And it's a sad story. And this is, again, the reality of the body of Christ, right? It's a flawed bunch. You know, it's a flawed bunch. At this point in the letter, Demas is there, and he's faithful, and he's a great encouragement to Paul. And then later we find out he wanders away, and there's a warning to us there, right? On the one hand, this text is a great encouragement. Like, don't you want to be part of a group like this? Wouldn't you love to have your name in this list of receiving greetings from Paul or being given praise that hey, I can tell you this guy is a faithful laborer. I know you've never heard of him, everyone else except Colossae. You've never heard of these people, but wow, what a faithful servant this guy is. Don't you want to be part of that group? And yet at the same time, there's warnings to us, and Demas is certainly one of those warnings. You know, to be careful. You know, we want to be in this group, but we always want to be intentional about our service to the Lord. And then there's a character like John Mark, who is a guy who broke up the great duo of Barnabas and Paul. A shameful character in many ways, yet there he is back with Paul. And he says, look, I'm sending him up there, and when he gets there, receive him. Receive him. Right? Don't you let what you've heard in the past, don't let these bad stories or what people may have said keep you from receiving him as a brother. Paul encouraged us to take the wayward person, the person who in the past has been a problem, but says, hey, you make sure that when he gets there, you receive him. I'm sending him to you. And you make sure that you receive him as a brother. And so it is with us. I mean, we're a bunch of characters in here. Small little group, but nonetheless, a bunch of characters with all kinds of stories. Stories of real failure. We've got to be able to... We have John Mark moments in our lives where we've blown it. And yet we're called to receive one another. We're called to be a body where we can be honest about who we are and be received by one another, right? Not shunned out. If there's lack of repentance, then perhaps that comes. But where there's sincere repentance, we should be able to be people who can receive one another with all our flaws. And we're just a bunch of characters, and this should not throw us off. When you look and say, can this be the body of Christ? The answer is yes. Just look at the end of Colossians, which brings us then finally to what I've already said, so in some ways repetitive, is that this community that we see accidentally just in Paul's words back and forth is really a community of commitment and love. It really is a community of commitment and love to one another. I mean, think about what Paul, the sacrifice in some sense that Paul's making for the Colossians right now. He's sending away some of his most faithful friends. He's sending them back so that they can minister to the Colossians. I'm sending Tychicus to you. I'm sending Onesimus back to you. They're going to tell you everything that's going on here, right? All these, many of these people who have been comforts to me, I'm sending so that they may be ministers to you. And he loves, again, not only the people who he's sending, but he loves the ones he's sending them to. He loves the Colossians. I think a challenge for us here on this to have our eyes lifted out of this little group of affirmation. This is why we support the work in Neuenburg. You've never met them except some of the ones who have come, which is great, right? That's like here. And when Paul Fuss comes and he brings greetings from Neuenburg, right, we know the body and now we know names. We could write our letters. Next time I go, we could send a letter and you could be writing, hey, give our greetings to Paul and remind Kathleen, you know, to be faithful. And if you happen to see Till, remind Till to be faithful in the ministry that he has been called to and not to abandon the calling of his faith. Tell Ralph we're with him and behind him in prayer. We know these names. We could do this. Though they're a body that we've not met, the church is in New York, that we come back and report to you on Presbytery. Maybe we need to be more faithful in giving you names of pastors whose churches are struggling or whose churches are thriving or the church planters that we want to support. Because this is our body. It's never just about affirmation. For Paul, it was never just about the church where he was at. He's never met the Colossians, but he loves these people. And so it should be for us. We're part of a community of commitment and love, not just to the Lord Jesus Christ, but to one another. I don't know if you heard it or if it struck you. Again, when we're hearing the scriptures read, the Spirit is striking us with different things as we read. But the word that always, the little phrase that always strikes me in Romans chapter 12, when Paul's going on about us being the body of Christ, is he says, you know, we're all different. We have different roles. We're all members of the one body. And then he adds this little phrase in there, and it's just always stuck with me. He says, we are members of the body of Christ and members of one another. We are members of the body, but we're members of one another. That it's not just that I'm sort of part of this large, nondescript body called the church, but that we are members of one another. That's not just my commitment to the kingdom. It's not just my commitment to the church. It's my commitment to you and you to me and us to one another. We're members of one another. There's an organic unity in the body of Christ that is to be a commitment of love and faithfulness and service to our Lord, but to one another. That's why John can say, you can't say you love God but despise your brother. It just doesn't work. The two go hand in hand. To love the Lord our God is to love one another. Inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. This is where kingdom life gets worked out. And through us then, out to the world. These brothers and sisters were working together for something great. They were bringing, the Colossae's a church plant. They're bringing the gospel there. Nymphis has got some church plant in her house. Aristarchus is in prison because he's ministering with Paul to share the gospel where he is. And that's what we're about. It's a community of love, members of one another for the sake of the world. That's what we are. So I encourage you, let this not end your study of Colossians, but may it just provoke you to go back and to study the book and to let the Lord work in our hearts through it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the body of Christ, this odd bunch. Full of characters and stories, full of failings and great acts of nondescript heroism. We thank you that it's made of male and female, of slave and free, of Jew and Gentile. Father, we thank you that it's a commitment, a body of commitment and love for one another and for you, for the sake of the world. Oh, Father, help us here at Affirmation to become more and more healthy. Help us to be the body of Christ as we see it manifested, flaws and all, but in unity for the sake of the kingdom manifested here in the life of Colossae, in the life of Paul, and of all these men and women, Father, that are mentioned here at the end of this book. And so we pray that you'd help us to be faithful. Build us up as members of your body and as members of one another in love for one another and for you. Do this by your Spirit, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.